From our seventh floor studio in Buckhead, this is Faith Talk Live with Rick Probst and Dan Ratcliffe.
Yes, it is. Happy Tuesday. It's Faith Talk Live with Dan Ratcliffe. Rick Probst is out today. You know, his son Jake has been sick the past couple of days, been at Children's Hospital, and he's getting released today, it sounds like. So this is good news. So Rick is there helping out with that and finding out what he's got to do to help Jake continue to get better. So just keep Jake in your prayers and Rick, and we may try to catch up with him. He said the doctor was in there right now, so we weren't able to talk to him here at the first. But Abby, we'll see maybe if we can sneak in and see if we can get him on the phone. And so if you'll just shoot him a text and say, hey, if you get a chance, give us a call and we'll get the update on Jake.
Got
if you
it.
Can do that, that'd be awesome. Anyway, today we are so excited. We've got Kit Cummings. He's back. You were here, what, a couple months ago?
Yeah.
That you were here and you were just getting ready to go to Tijuana and San Diego. So we're going to hear all about that and what you're doing with the Tijuana Boys of Tijuana Soccer Club and just all kinds of cool things that are going on in your life. And you're traveling back and forth and celebrating birthdays and all kinds of stuff. So speaking of birthdays, the reason why we played a little Start Me Up there at the beginning was because today is Mick Jagger's birthday. Any guess on how old he is today, Kit?
73.
Oh, bam! You got it right there, 73.
And yeah. I completely guessed. I did not
did
know
you?
That.
No, 73. That was a great guess.
Bam.
Yes, and he shares a birthday with your son, Cole.
My son, which I didn't know until this morning. So that's cool. I can't wait to tell my son.
Yeah. Very cool. And your son is how old now?
21.
21.
UGA at the University of Georgia.
Yeah.
His name is Cole. He's a little rock star, too.
Is he? Really?
Yeah.
How so?
He does stand-up comedy. He does videography, music production. I mean, he's on both sides of the camera. I mean, he's very, very talented.
So what'd you guys do to celebrate? I saw that you went out for his birthday yesterday. What'd you guys do to celebrate?
Just hanging out in downtown Athens. I'm a UGA grad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're having a party this coming weekend.
Awesome.
I'm staying out at my mom's place out in Madison. So we're going to celebrate this weekend.
Very cool. It was good to see that picture yesterday, and it was in front of a theater. I guess I've been to Athens once, but I have not seen that theater. So.
Yeah. Yeah, the Georgia Theater, which they do a lot of cool music there. He's a aficionado, man.
An aficionado?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's so much like me, but he's better than me. I mean, for real.
That's what you hope
when
for.
When I was at 21 at UGA, we can't tell those stories on the radio. This is a nice Faith Talk line. No, I ain't getting
you and me both. We hope better for our children than what we had at that age, right? Yeah, well, he also shares a birthday with Roger Taylor from Queen, who will also have
rock and roll.
And Dorothy Hamill. He probably doesn't even know who Dorothy Hamill is.
The haircut. She changed the haircut for America for about a minute.
Yeah, you don't know Dorothy Hamill.
Sorry, no.
She was skater, ice
Olympic,
skater.
Olympic ice skater, yeah.
Okay. Not the one that was hitting people with hammers.
No. That was a completely different one.
A totally different girl.
But anyway, happy birthday to Cole and also to Mick Jagger and all those. A couple things to let you know about. First of all, let's let you know where you can find us at on Twitter. You can find us at RickFTA, at DanFTA. On Instagram, yes, we have an Instagram account at Faith Talk Live. So we'll take a picture a little bit later with you and me. Maybe we can put Rick's bobblehead or something, you know, just make a little face out of him that we can stick him in there. You can find us on Faith Talk Live, streaming and on demand at FaithTalkAtlanta.com and on our app. And you can watch live right now at Facebook, Facebook.com/FaithTalkLive, and hear all about the Power of Peace Project. How can folks find you real quick?
PowerOfPeaceProject.com and Power of Peace 88 on Twitter.
Okay.
Power of Peace Project on Facebook.
Yeah. And Instagram, you on Instagram?
Yep, Kit Cummings 88.
Kit Cummings 88.
Mm-hmm.
All right, awesome. And you just got back, what, last night or yesterday? Or
Friday night, late Friday night.
Yeah. Late Friday night from San Diego and California, and you're just doing some amazing things in the prisons there. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. I want to start, first of all, just by, you know, kind of rewinding. You told some of your story before, but just for those who are joining us who haven't heard about you and your story, first of all, tell us, how did you get to where you are today? What is your background story? Give us that. Let's start with that.
I'm going to give you the elevator. Bam, bam, bam. Okay.
Okay.
I grew up in Atlanta. Been here my whole life, right? Mm-hmm. Least likely guy to become a preacher and radically changed at age 25. Shocked the world, you know.
What happened? What happened at 25? If you can tell us that.
Oh, yeah. It was a burnout at 25. Yeah. You know, I just got tired and I was big time. I mean, I went to Walton High School, went to UGA. Got into the music business, and it was a higher level of partying and all that goes with that. And I was just tired and ready for a change. Met a guy, changed my life, you know, and fell in love with God, never knew him, you know, and I believed in him, but, you know, never really. And so I'm all out. It's all I do. I've only got one speed. If I'm going to do something, I just do it. You know what I'm saying? That's just how he put me together.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to tell the whole world. So I did that from 25 to 40 and did pretty well. And so I grew pretty large churches and right here in Atlanta. Traveled a lot, got a taste for that, going around different parts of the world. And so I did that. But then at the age of 40, I burnt out again. And this was a spiritual burnout. And just resigned, walked away from, you know, a couple thousand people and just went back out there. Perfect storm, went through a lot of tough time for about a year and then came out of it tougher, but with a softer heart. And so then, you know, years later, whatever it's been, 9 years ago, 8 years ago, I was invited into a prison to speak and it changed my life. Turned out to be a very, very rough prison. You know, toughest prison in Georgia, one of the most dangerous in the country.
Here in Atlanta or just?
North Georgia.
North Georgia. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, they went to a stretch where there were several killings in 6 weeks, five, you know, and so it got real rough. And so I just bonded with those guys and I started, it was an experiment, you know, that came from this idea I had around Martin Luther King's birthday. Tried an experiment. It went so well, led to a program. Now it's morphed into a movement. It's taken me around the world in prisons, you know, four continents and all over the country. And I started writing books. And it's become my life's work, which has sprung off into my corporate speaking, you know, which is, hey, if I can get Crips and Bloods to get along, what could I do for your people, your management, your sales? That's my hook.
Is it possible to get?
Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, faith-based communities, I still do a lot of speaking there, but a lot in schools. And so there's really no place this message can't travel.
Yeah.
But it's getting very, very hot right now because of all the, we've got, you know, Black Lives Matter. We've got Democrats and Republicans getting further and further apart. We've got cops and communities and the racial thing. And then we also have the border, you know, walls and tunnels, cartels, immigration. These are very hot topics. And this program, this project, this movement, which has become a youth peace movement, has now gotten global. And so my work has really shifted. But my latest book, Peace Behind the Wire, really describes, you know, the evolution and the history of this movement, you know, the Power Peace Movement. And so, you know, here we are.
Awesome. Talking with Kit Cummings from the Power of Peace Project, and we're going to get into the prison ministry work that you're doing. But first, you mentioned when you were in church and you got spiritually burnt out. Now, obviously, that's not something that just happens just like that. It builds up over time. Let me ask you, for those especially who may be pastors or in the ministry who are listening, what are some of the signs to look for that, hey, I'm getting burnt out?
Yeah. It's a slippery slope, and for me, it was a drifting. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like when you're in the ocean playing, and then all of a sudden you look up, it's like, well, where are my people at? You know, you've just been drifting. Yeah. That's what it was for me. It was a calling that kind of slowly turned into a career, and it was heavy. And so, you know, people put you in a fishbowl, and they're always telling you things, you know, that make you feel good. But deep inside, you feel kind of, I mean, not everybody, obviously, but this is a temptation. You start believing the press, but deep down, you don't feel like that. You know, and I just, I became less and less open, transparent with my life. So those in leadership, I don't care if it's executives, coaches, definitely pastors, politicians, if you don't have a core of men or women, you know, for those that are in leadership, that you trust and can just be completely vulnerable and transparent with and say, hey.
That's key, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Being transparent.
Yeah. And having the vertical relationships, you know, which are those above you that are like, you know, spiritually and professionally and, you know, just on a friendship level, can look over you. They're wiser, you know, having the elder as in, you know, the older, wiser men in your life. And then also having brothers, friends on a horizontal level. That you can just be, you know, hey, we understand each other. We know each other when it's like, hey, what's up, man? And you're like, oh, I'm good. And they can look at you and say, no, man.
No, you're not.
What's up? You know, and then you've got people under you that you're accountable to, that you're raising up. I mean, that's a healthy place. And I drifted from that. And I was struggling with a lot of things in my mind and heart that I just stopped being open with. And those things can overwhelm you, especially when you're, you know, put on a pedestal and you're the one teaching people how to do marriage and raise kids and personally be, you know, and you're not even doing well in those areas, then you start feeling like a poser.
Yeah.
And it burns you out. Man, it can't.
You're looked at and you're expected to have it all together.
And nobody does.
No,
you know what I'm saying? All we can do is just, but if we're authentic, it's endearing. It's attractive. It's contagious when you know people in your life that are just salt of the earth. I am who I am, not trying to prove anything to anybody. That people are attracted to that. But so many people are afraid of that because like, man, if people knew me, they would not love me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's what happened. That was my story. And then I went back to the things that I was before. I was a wild man before I got, and that stuff came back into my life.
Right.
You know, which can mess you up.
Yeah, definitely. But God, again, used that time in your life eventually for your good and for his glory. He's using that now. What you're doing in prisons and just bringing peace to a place where, man, peace is not very well known, really, probably. And we'll talk about that and what you're doing in the prisons here in just a few minutes. We've got to take a break here real quick, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Faith Talk Live. I'm Dan Ratcliffe. We'll be right back.
This is Faith Talk Live with Rick Probst and Dan Ratcliffe right here on Faith Talk Atlanta.
Yes, it is Faith Talk Live on this Tuesday. A quick happy birthday to Roger Taylor from Queen playing this song here. And, of course, happy birthday to Cole Cummings.
Nice.
Kid Cummings' son. He was 21 years old today. And does he know who Queen is? He probably does. He's a musician.
He knows everybody.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
That's good.
He really does.
That's good. So he's not just in
today. He goes all the way. Miles Davis is a big influence.
Wow,
I mean, yeah,
really?
All the way up to the latest hip hop, you know, guy that hadn't even broke yet. He knows.
Man. So he loves everything, not just one particular style.
Yeah, maybe not country.
Okay, yeah, well.
Or and Thrasher, Megadeth. Yeah, he ain't into that.
But I'll give him both of those. Yeah, I'm not big on those either. Anyway, it's Faith Talk Live. I'm Dan Ratcliffe. Rick Probst is out today with his son, Jake, who hopefully is leaving Children's Medical Center today. And thanks to the folks at Children's for taking great care of him. And so Rick will be back tomorrow and I think bringing Jake with him. So we'll get to hear how he's doing. We got Kit Cummings in here today, the Power of Peace Project. You're the president and founder of the Power of Peace Project. Is that your official title, I guess?
That'd work.
What other titles would you like to have? We can give you any title you want, really. I mean,
Author, speaker,
all-around good guy.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Just depending. Pokemon Go player? Are you that? Is that part of your...
I don't even understand. I understand people are like walking into buses and things, you know, saying head down.
They're getting into crashes.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's just a game. It's kind of a mindless game. I'll put it that way. My son is a big Pokemon player. He's 11 years old. And so I downloaded it just so I could play and we could go around and play together, which has been a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time together recently doing this. But it's funny because you would think that it's mostly kids or millennials maybe who are playing it. But there's a nursing home in Florida where the seniors there are using Pokemon Go in rehab and exercise. The people that are using it to help exercise
good.
The residents.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because part of it is getting out and walking, and as you walk, you accumulate more points or whatever, and you can find other, you know, various Pokemon and stuff. So the staff members have introduced the game to the senior residents who are recovering from injuries, and apparently it's becoming very popular with the seniors. So this is a ageless thing, which is pretty cool. I think
that's very cool. Awesome. That's positive.
As long as you're not walking into buses or crashing into cop cars like one guy did while you're driving and playing the game. So anyway, that's the Pokemon Go case. So that's not part of your title. It's Pokemon Go aficionado.
Not.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Anyway, we got Kit Cummings here, author of Peace Behind the Wire and the president of the Power of Peace Project. Now, we were just talking about how you kind of got into prison ministry and your life leading up to that. So let's talk about, you just got back from San Diego and Tijuana. Talk about what led you there and the work that you're doing there.
Yeah, it's been amazing because I've gotten invited once the experiment worked at that prison. It was literally biggest gang prison in Georgia. They were in the middle of a gang war. We committed to 40 days, seven principals with 12 men to see if they could live in peace in honor of Dr. King's birthday for 40 days. And they went out and started telling everybody, and it became this phenomenon that brought peace to that prison for a magical time. And that's what launched it. I started getting invited around as an expert, and I was just trying to figure out what had just happened, right? And they're like, tell us about what you developed. And I'm like, eh.
So what was the project that you gave them that you started with? I mean, what's involved in it?
And this is so timely because what it was, it became a series. I wrote four small books that were 40-day projects. And what they do is they commit to they get a couple of quotes from famous, iconic peacemakers mm-hmm. from the 20th century, you know, King, Gandhi, Mandela, Mother Teresa, you know, Dalai mm-hmm. Lama. And it connects world religions, races, even gangs, and it, you know, attracts rivals.
Mm-hmm.
And then for 40 days, they memorize the quotes, they take an action challenge I give them, and they journal every day. Once a week, they get in small groups with their rivals, they go through exercises, watch a video that I produced. And the idea is you sit across from somebody that is your enemy, and then you find out they're just like you. Hmm. And commonality brings us together. By the end, we graduate, celebrate, reward them. And you got rival gang members doing the convict hug. Right,
which I what's the convict?
Well, I have to teach. I'll teach that.
Okay,
it's not two arms chest to chest. You know, man, they'll do that.
It's the one arm with the pat on the back.
It's kind of a dab, a little dap with a with the shoulder bump. And so, but anyway, so I started taking it, and the more I did it, I developed it and started figuring out what had happened. So, there's a guy in San Diego doing amazing work. I mean, he planted churches all over the Middle East in the 90s. Mm. You know, and I mean, he worked with Hezbollah, even and worked through Saddam and Uday Hussein to use youth sports to get into countries and then plant underground churches. And he became an expert at working his way in. I knew who he was. He knew who I was, but we didn't really know each other that way at all.
Mm-hmm.
He read my book, Peace Behind the Wire. It resonated with him. He reached out on Facebook, said, "Hey, you don't know me, but man, we're doing some, you know, cool things. I think we do a lot of the same work." So, I mean, we talked for an hour. I bought a plane ticket, flew out to San Diego, stayed with him. He took me into Tijuana. It blew my mind because he's doing work using soccer in the most dangerous part of Tijuana that's controlled by cartels, kingpins, drug lords, rich landowners, corrupt politicians, police. I mean, it's this rival, dangerous place. Mm. And in the middle is this safe haven for this soccer club. But the thing that he was missing was, you know, we can help these kids, but if we don't start dealing with the crime and violence, then we're really not going to be able to solve this problem.
Right.
He found out about me, brought me down there. I started doing my program in those areas, literally working with cartel members that are in the prisons and trying to get them to transform their lives and start being real fathers to those kids.
Mm.
And I've been going out every month, coming up August to be 5 months, you know, mm-hmm. we're every month we're getting deeper and deeper in, and it's becoming more and more effective.
Hmm. Do you find, by the way, we're talking with Kit Cummings from the Power of Peace Project. Do you find that those men that you're talking to, the cartel members, when I think of them in my sheltered United States world, I think they're people who will never change, who will never, open their hearts to thinking in a different way. Do you find that they're open and receptive to this project that you're bringing in?
Unbelievably. I mean, I didn't know what it was. I'd never taken this project. I've spoken in prisons around the world, but I've never done my full-on project, my 40-day project, with in another country in a language that I don't speak. And so I had
So you're having to speak through a translator and
absolutely,
which makes it even a little bit harder, I would think, or maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
You would think, but I've gotten close to this guy, and he's very, very good. Okay. When you're speaking to a group, you've got to get into a rhythm and a dance, and he's got to be able to communicate your passion, your humor, and the things you're trying to do. Right. So we spent two days with these guys. I mean, this is a prison that was built for 2,500. They have over 5,000 men in it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a very rough prison. Wow. When they say it's one of Mexico's roughest prisons, you're like, that's a rough prison.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
no
and they didn't know why they were coming. It's like, they didn't know who I was. While I was coming, they were told, hey, you've been chosen. So they chose 50 guys that were in the unit that they were having the most problems with in the toughest prison. That's basically everybody's cartel and gangs. So I'm like, this is going to be fascinating. So they came in single file, hands behind their back, lined up in the thing, and we're out in the yard, this big, I mean, tough prison yard, and I'm speaking to them. And so we go through this two-day launch period, and it involves, you know, teaching. I get them laughing, but we divide them up into five teams of 10. They choose the name of their table. Okay, so they chose the Warriors of Peace. Then there was the Brotherhood of Peace. Then there were the Soldiers of Peace. Then there was the Union. And then there were the Freedom Fighters. So they get this, and they're sitting across from their rivals, right?
Yeah.
Which is very, very rare. And then we start going through these exercises, like turn to the man to your right, and I want you to tell him the greatest day of your life. And we're going to take when your kids are born off the table, because everybody's going to say that.
Yeah.
And so they're turning to a guy that they're not even cool with and telling them something very special. Then we'll say, come up with the greatest dream you have for your life. What do you want to do before you die? One specific thing. And you tell a guy. And then they get up and share about it. But you have to share about the other man's dream, the other man's toughest day, the other man's greatest day.
So not your own.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we start getting them to come up with their unique gifts as a table. And then we start team building. And by the end, we're hugging, we're laughing, we're crying. And miracles happen. Then they sign the peace pledge. They join the peace movement. They put on a wristband, which connects all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've committed to no violence for 40 days. We're going to come together. It's magic.
Now, when they came in, did you see on their faces just this, I don't want to be here, this, you know, this is not for me? Or was that the kind of the attitude you got at the beginning, at least?
Oh, yeah. They looked the part. You're thinking they what you're imagining, you're right
on
time.
What am I doing here? Why am I here with this guy who I'd rather kill right now?
Crazy-looking American down here in our prison. You know what I'm saying? He must be crazy. And yeah, they the program works because what it does is it's a human thing. Right now, everybody's arguing about, you know, which side are you on? This is a human thing. You bring humans together in the right environment, and we will find out we have more in common than what separates us.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about hearing a story of somebody who's your rival, but hearing their hopes and aspirations are very similar to yours, and you have that in common. What a difference that can make.
Unbelievable. I mean, we have a guy in there that's one of the shining stars in this program. For 20 years, he was a police officer in the Tijuana area. Cartels owned him.
Yeah.
He eventually got out of being a police officer and went to work full-time for the cartels. Did a lot of bad things.
Wow.
And he shares about how his life changed, and he's constant threat of being killed because of this. I mean, it's a movie.
We'll have to get some more of these stories that you've heard. I would be fascinated to hear some of those. And we'll get to those in just a few minutes. Got to take a hard break here. You're listening to Faith Talk Live. I'm Dan Ratcliffe. Rick Probst is out today. We're talking with Kit Cummings from the Power of Peace Project, and we'll be right back.
From our seventh floor studio in Buckhead, this is Faith Talk Live with Rick Probst and Dan Ratcliffe.
Yes, it is. Happy Tuesday. I'm Dan Ratcliffe. Rick Probst is out today with his son, Jake, but hopefully we'll be back tomorrow, and I think with Jake. So maybe we can hear from Jake how he enjoyed the hospital jello and food that he got to have over the past few days. But he will be getting out today, so just keep praying for Jake that he will continue to get better. We're talking today with Kit Cummings from the Power of Peace Project, also the author of, and I just lost it, Peace Behind the Wire. We need to ask you about that, too. Good. We got so much to talk about. We don't have enough time to do it. We need another hour or so. Real quick, got to let you know about Celebrate Freedoms coming up Saturday, September 3rd at Jim R. Miller Park in Marietta. Rick and I are going to be there, hopefully doing the same thing we did last year, which is doing some interviews on the big screen with all the artists that are going to be there, like Stephen Curtis Chapman, Britt Nicole, Ellie Holcomb, Phil Wickham, Laura Story, Building 429, and many others. The ticket locations will be announced soon where you can pick up those tickets. It's a free ticket, but that ticket will also help you get reduced parking out there at the park. You can also sign up for the 5K, which Rick will run. And since I hate running, I'll be riding in a golf cart behind him and cheering him on.
Nice.
Because I'm smart. I don't like to run. Running's bad for you, in my humble opinion. But are you a runner at all, kid? Do you like to run?
No.
I saw you're a walker on the beach. I watched your video that you posted on Facebook, walking along the beach, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
And that I can take. I can do that all day long.
There you go.
But running? No, not so much. Abby says no as well.
No, absolutely not.
No running
like
for you.
Like-minded people here.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Rick's just crazy that way. Anyway, you can find out more about that at celebratefreedom.com. So we're talking with Kit Cummings about the work that you were doing in the prisons in San Diego and La Mesa. Was that the name of the prison?
Yes.
In Tijuana?
Mm-hmm.
And real quick, you said in your video that there's now kind of a connection between those two prisons and how they're working together. Talk about that, how they kind of have hooked up.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows right now in the election season that we're in and the primaries we just went through, and now it's going to get really, you know, interesting heading into November. A lot of the talk is around building walls,
right,
blocking tunnels, immigration. And on the Mexican side, you know, cartels, crime, kidnapping, drugs. And there's a big debate on, you know, both sides. And both sides are digging in, getting further and further.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've done is we've found this amazing connection. The boys of Tijuana are becoming like little rock stars. I mean, this isn't some little youth club. This it's called Ledix Sports. My friend Jeff Wadstrom, it's his company. And then the nonprofit over this work is called Bridge to the Future, which is just perfect. And they're getting these boys off the street and out of, I mean, terrible conditions and raising them up, and seven have been placed to professional contracts. They'll probably, I mean, I'm telling you, this is scouts from around the world are noticing this club that are producing these kids into professional soccer players.
Wow.
So now, I mean, they're getting a lot of press, and we're going to have an International Peace Cup next, our first one, but we want Tijuana to host teams from around the world. So now we have youth clubs that have committed from Nigeria, China, Lebanon, you know, Spain, that are coming to this 120-team. Tijuana loves it because they're trying to get tourism back after the cartel war of the last 5 years. Tourism went away, commerce, U.S. dollars. So they see us as a couple Americans coming down there, and I get to do what I'm doing right now and tell the story. They're like, please, please.
So you're a rock star in Tijuana.
Well, I don't know. Politicians love us. Business guys love us. Cartels are protecting us. It's really, really fascinating. Yeah, but what we've done is, because of the prisons I have around the country that have these Power Peace graduates that are wearing the wristband, becoming peacemakers, and really we got thousands of inmates around the country
that have
adopted peace and are fighting to be peacemakers and role models to kids on the street, right? So, and then I've done it in rehab centers. I've done it in schools. Now we've got a college movement that started at the University of Georgia. They're making videos. My son is the president of the club, and he's good at making videos. And so everything's focused on these boys of Tijuana being ambassadors of peace. And we've started taking them into, last week we took them into a juvenile prison and did an exhibition soccer game. Everybody plays soccer all around the world. It's the universal language, and everybody loves kids.
And it's called football there, not soccer.
Football, I know, right? But they, if I said that, people would think they were patting up.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So anyway, but they played an exhibition game against the inmates in this juvenile prison, which was beautiful. And they learn we don't want to be in prison. And the inmates learn we got to get out, these kids. Next day, we took him into an adult rehab, addiction recovery center, which is a prison. Once they're in it, they can't get out unless their families sign them out. And these are these are guys that came off the streets and cartels and gangs. They're trying to get clean from meth and heroin, okay? And so we played an exhibition soccer game against them, and it was rowdy and raucous and all these. I mean, I can't wait to get the pictures up online. But the boys of Tijuana who are young played these men, kicked their butts. I mean, it was so, because they got a little professional, you know, these are teens, man. They're tough. So then they learned we don't want to get on drugs and gangs because this is where it ends up. So it's this amazing connection. So what I did is I challenged the guys at Hayes State Prison up in Georgia, where we're doing the program now, write a letter to the men at La Mesa, and I'll deliver it for you. So they wrote a number of letters, and I got to read these to the men, and it was, brothers at La Mesa, we're the brothers of Hayes State Prison, the peacemakers, you know, at Hayes. Welcome to the movement. We're so excited that you've, you know, gotten on this journey with us. And I read those letters, and the men in the Mexican prison were blown away that somebody in America cared about them. At the end of the 2 days, I got them to write letters back to Hayes and to Donovan State Prison, which is in California, which I did work up there last week with gang members in a California prison. That was trippy. It looked like a, you know, a cast from a gangbanger movie with everybody looked like Danny Trejo, if you know Danny Trejo.
Oh, man.
And at the end of that, we were hugging, laughing, and, you know, dapping up and everything. And then I read the letters from the men in the Mexican prison to them, and they said, we are the men from La Mesa. Donovan, welcome to the peace movement. We're now brothers, and we're building bridges. Okay, so then I went to, next week I'll be in a drug court program up in Dalton, Georgia. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get them to write letters to the rehab facility down here, and then get them to write letters back. And then we've got college students that are writing letters to all of them. I mean, it's this, we're building bridges when the world is arguing over walls. I mean, if that's not a story, come on, CNN, Fox News, Dateline, 2020. I'm calling you out, Oprah, Ellen. Here we are. You want a story?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's awesome to see that they're, you know, these people who are rivals and you know, used to kill each other are now building those bridges and wanting to build that peace and these boys. Now, the boys of Tijuana, was that a soccer team that was together already, or did you guys just go and find just different great soccer players and put them together and say, hey, you guys should play?
Well, it was Jeff in Letic Sports. He found a coach that was a professional soccer player that was retired. And they just got one team together out of this place called Terrazas, which is the most dangerous neighborhood in Tijuana. I mean, it is. Dirt roads, it's scary. A couple times they've said, hey, get the white guy out of there.
You know, he's, really?
Yeah, they're getting nervous. And so from one team, they've grown to 10. And from 20 players, they've grown to 200.
That's awesome.
But there's 40 of them that are the two teams that are getting they become the boys of Tijuana.
Wow.
We told their parents that we're going to work on, through the governments on both sides, to get them travel visas. We want to take them on a tour around the country. And they really are becoming the face of a peace movement, global youth peace movement. And Tijuana loves it. And so in September, we're planning a youth march through the streets of Tijuana and a big rally. I mean, we've already gotten, we had a press conference last week in Tijuana, and now we're doing the same program in Tecate. We've got the mayor in Tecate that wants to partner with Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're building bridges between mayors on both sides.
Wow.
I mean, I shake my head and say, I'm just so grateful to be a part of it and to be able to witness. I call it, it's a front row at a miracle.
Now, those tough neighborhoods that you're getting these kids from, you say you're getting the protection from the cartels. Are they in support of this? I mean, is this to them not threatening to take future cartel members away? You know what I'm saying? Is that good, bad? You're looking at me like,
I'm going to find that out. And we're going to come back to you talking about that. You know, no, I shouldn't say if I don't come back. I'm not smart. My wife might be listening to this.
May not be good.
She already thinks I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, this magical little safe haven has developed, and where enemies, okay, you've got the local quote-unquote mafia that runs the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You've got corrupt, people are more afraid of the police than they are the cartels.
Mm-hmm.
The cartels, to a lot of people, are the ones that provide for them.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. They pay everybody. So the politicians, the cops, they got them all in their pocket, most of them. And then you've got the local drug lords that run they're fighting for control. Then you've got the rich landowners that a lot of times is at war with cartels because cartels want his land. And so it's this crazy thing, but over this area, they've all just basically said, hey, we're going to leave these kids alone because they're getting off the streets and they're becoming professional soccer players. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to stop that.
Yeah.
And so my buddy Jeff is kind of a made man down there. Mm-hmm. He happens to be a white American, but they're like, that's Jeff. I mean, he's cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting to know me, but I've got to be smart. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm with Jeff and I'm with Ulysses, the coach. Everybody knows Ulysses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool, but I don't need to be riding around down there by myself yet.
Probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Now these kids that you're working with and taking, are you able to share with them eventually, I mean, the gospel and show them that there is a different life?
Yeah. Yeah. 88 of those kids are now studying the Bible and learning about, and that can be, believe it or not, that can be a risk. Because of, you know, the church, there's one huge church that is through Latin America.
Right.
It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the kind of dark forces that a lot of the gangs, it really is black magic, voodoo, praying to the, you know, the angel of death. I mean, that's how they think they're protected.
Wow.
So these kids now that are changing their lives, that can be something that can be hard for them and their families.
Yeah. All right. We got to take another break here. But when we come back, I want to talk about the racial tensions that we have in America right now that we're seeing, and how we can bring peace back to that, how we can apply your 40 days to peace in this country and bring peace back to our country, something we definitely need. So we will come back in just a minute. You're listening to Faith Talk Live with Kit Cummings. I'm Dan Ratcliffe. We'll be right back.
This is Faith Talk Live with Rick and Dan on Faith Talk Atlanta.
Yes, it is. Faith Talk Atlanta. Happy Tuesday. I'm Dan Ratcliffe. Rick Probst is out, and we are talking with Kit Cummings from the Power of Peace Project, and I want to get right back into it because we've got about 10 minutes here, and we got a lot to cover in these 10 minutes, so get ready to listen fast because we're going to talk fast. Can you talk fast?
I can do it.
Okay. Just not so fast that we can't understand. All right. So we've been talking about the work that you've been doing in prisons, not only here in Georgia, but also in Mexico, in San Diego, and just these 40 days to peace and building a bridge to the future. And we were talking kind of off mic in between the break here about the racial tensions that we've got in America right now, you know, with Black Lives Matter and the police shootings and all this stuff. How do we bring peace back, or bring peace for the first time, maybe, I don't know, to the United States?
Yeah, everybody knows that we're getting further and further apart. There is a gap between, I mean, it's racially, it's economically, mm-hmm. it's politically, it's religion. I mean, these are all huge topics that people are talking about because we're trying to figure out the direction of our country. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of it, we have this very interesting movement developing. In the civil rights movement, it was college kids that marched.
Right.
And if it wasn't college kids, it was college age kids. Mm-hmm. And they were not just black. Black, white, mm-hmm. and then Jewish students coming down from the Northeast. We didn't have a lot of Hispanic, you know, kids during the 50s right. and 60s. Or there were some, but that marched. And now it's youth are always the fuel and the muscle of a movement. This youth generation, the millennials, kids born after 1990, after 2000, they've never seen a peace movement in their life. Never right. seen one.
And they've only seen their iPhones because that's
yeah,
what
but I asked people, is there a peace movement going on in the world right now? And it's like, well, we see projects, we see protests, we see Occupy Wall Street, we see Black Lives Matter, but I'm talking about a global bring people together peace movement, and they say no. And I said, I know where one is. Mm-hmm. You know, one is developing. But I was on the Mike Slater show out in San Diego, mm-hmm. nationally syndicated, right after Glenn Beck. And he's had me on twice. And he asked me, he said, okay, what can we do? How can this help America with everything that's going on? And I said, a new idea, a new type of town hall meeting tour. Okay, here's my idea. The seven principles that the cartel rivals commit to, the gangs in America commit to, the kids in high schools commit to, are so simple, but they're so powerful, and they always work. It's just a matter of getting people to humble out and do it, okay? And they're very
simple.
That's
the hard part, is getting them to humble out, right?
Yeah. But last week in this tough Mexican prison, here's what they committed to. One, I will seek first to understand my opponent. Mm-hmm. I know what I think. I want to know what you think. Two, I will find common ground with my adversary. Something that we have in common that we can start with. Mm-hmm. Three, I'll walk a mile in the other's shoes before I judge them. Mm. Okay, that's huge. I'm not allowed to judge you until I've walked with you for a minute, and that's what we do for 40 days with these rivals. Four, I will actively listen and pause before responding. Mm-hmm. Imagine a debate, a political debate, where actively listen and not just thinking about what my position is when you shut up. Mm-hmm. Trying to win. Like if you win, I lose. If you lose, I win. You can't get together.
Right.
We got to get to if you win, I win.
That's
if you
good.
Lose, I lose, right? Five, I will compassionately communicate and use my influence for peace. Imagine getting cartel guys to say, be compassionate in your communication. That's crazy, isn't it? What if we got fathers to do that? What if we got pastors to do that? I mean, come on.
Wow.
Six, when I am wrong, I will promptly admit it and quickly make amends. Mm. Say you're sorry. Say I blew that. I mean, whether it be Donald Trump or Hillary or whether it be whoever, say, yeah, I messed up there. Shouldn't have tweeted that. My bad.
I have to say I'm wrong? Really? I hate doing that.
Everybody would be like, oh my God. Yeah. If I was a political advisor, that's what I'd say.
Yeah.
This is a huge strategy. Do it. Say I blew it. We're a very forgiving country.
Mm-hmm. And I love the presupposition there is when I am wrong. It's not if I'm wrong, but when we're all
fathers ought to do that with their kids.
Yes.
We're afraid to, right?
Yeah.
And then seven, I will treat my enemy with dignity and respect, even when we disagree. Mm. Okay. And that doesn't happen. Calling names and belittling and trying to tear down is not right. And it doesn't work. Mm. And so I don't care if your country's rival gangs, political opponents, these principles work. And the cool thing about the Power of Peace Project, we're going into the toughest environments, proving they work, and then saying, what about you?
Mm.
So my goal is to have town hall meetings where we invite mayors, police chiefs, civic leaders, Black Lives Matter, local clergy, wounded community members, you know, blue and black, cops and communities. We get them all in the same room. We have a moderator. We have a platform, you know, panels. But you cannot enter the hall until you sign that peace pledge, and you're going to commit to those seven.
Wow.
And you've got to put on a wristband that shows that everyone has signed. You don't get in the room without it, and then you don't get the mic unless you're committed to it, and you get one strike, okay? If you interrupt, you get a warning from the moderators, like number four is actively listen, okay? You need to Okay, put your wristband in the air. That's what I do. That's what I do with the Crips. All right, now you're not listening to the Bloods. And so you got to find common ground. You got to admit when you're wrong. And then the moderator has the right to say, okay, we're turning off that mic respectfully. Okay, everybody's got to. And we have a real conversation, and we're not allowed to leave the auditorium without action steps for the next one. And then we take that from city to city. And I'm crazy enough to believe that it could work.
Wow. Kit Cummings, the Power of Peace Project, now having action steps. How important is that? Rather than just talking about it and then leaving, but actually having action steps, how important is that?
Yeah, these rivals in the prisons and communities, it's not just, well, one, they get quotes from King, which are brilliant, Gandhi, I mean, brilliant to fill their mind with to start their day. But then they've got an action challenge that I challenge them as a man, you know, complete this. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, journal about why you didn't. Okay. And we're going to do this 40 days a row so you can build a new habit. The action step is, that's the problem. We're having all these debates and no action. That's what people are mad about Congress is, or the candidates, is where your solution. You're just talking about the other one's problems. You're blaming, what do you stand for? Not just what do you stand against? And so the action challenge, their challenge to break bread today with an enemy and have a conversation. Show respect to an officer that you do not like. Okay, that takes a man to do that. You know, go and encourage somebody that looks down that you don't know in a prison. And so the action challenge, we're having town hall meetings, we're having debates, but when we leave, we're more dug in than we ever were, then we go and use social media to attack the other. If we have productive conversation and say, what are our next steps? And what are we going to do between the next time now and when we meet? That's the magic of the program that we're doing.
Wow.
Is the action.
Now, when are these town hall tours, when are these town hall meetings coming? That's
well, in San Diego, that's the place to start. Uh-huh. Next month when I'm in San Diego and Tijuana, we're having press conference number 2, which is going to be bigger.
Good.
And we're, you know, we're talking with people out there about San Diego is where we'll start. We'll have one in Tijuana, one in San Diego. We'll build that bridge. Media will be present, and probably, you know, we're hoping that, we have a major syndicated national radio host that will be moderator. Awesome. He's already said, how are we going to make this happen? I'm like, invited, man.
Awesome. Can't wait to hear it. Hopefully, we'll have one here in Atlanta that we can all take part in and check out.
And I want to squeeze this in.
Yeah.
I marched in the 10,000 person march through Atlanta, the Black Lives Matter NAACP march. And people are like, man, what side are you on? And I say, I'm on the human side. I'm not on either side. Why'd you march? I said, because I want to feel their pain. I want to see their anger. I want to get close enough to look in their eyes and say, what do you think the solution is? And I took my son. I said, let's go march. And so I got some backlash about that. I'm like, why don't you get involved with the other side and see what they feel? And the hatred happens at a distance. Judgment happens far away. If I get close enough to you to look in your eyes and speak the right way, I don't hate you anymore. Now we're in dialogue.
And that may have been your takeaway, but what did you take away from marching in that march?
I think the people of color, if we can understand their pain, okay, which a lot of people don't.
Right.
All right. And if we can understand the officers' fear, they just want to go home. And then we start feeling one another, then we can talk. And Dr. King said that, you know, the reason that we hate each other is we don't understand each other. The reason we don't understand each other, we don't communicate. The reason we don't communicate is we fear one another. So if we sit down at the table, and that's what Mandela did. He saved a nation from civil war by talking to his opponents.
Humbling yourself and listening to your
opponents. Thank you. Yes.
All right. Kit Cummings, Power of Peace Project. Check it out. PowerofPeaceProject.com. You can also get involved that way. Folks can help out just going there, right?
Yep.
And finding out more information.
And buy Peace Behind the Wire and invite me to come speak at your next event.
All right. Good stuff. Wish we had more time. It's Kit Cummings. You're listening to Faith Talk Live. I'm Dan Ratcliffe. Have a terrific Tuesday.